There was definitely something that happened to these people that was earth-shattering and completely has shaken up their lives.
If you want access to the best real ghost stories,
I think she was afraid that they were going to make her little friend go away.
Real accounts of the dead coming back to life.
She had a spirit that she had gotten very close with.
Real video and images of ghosts.
A little boy.
Then you need to be an extra podcast person, also known as an EPP. Sign up to be one for only $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com.
I stared transfixed as the mist began to gradually become more solid and translucent, and to my shock, more human in appearance.
Your support is what keeps our show on the air. For only $5, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP exclusive episodes, updated weekly, exclusive video content, and more.
Behind me in my kitchen, I hear a little girl say, "Are you my daddy? Where's my daddy?"
Keep us on the air and get access to the best ghost stories and more now at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. The phone number 855-853-4802. Of course, you can write it on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can email us your audio file if you want to send us your story that way. Just go to your email and send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. So several ways to share your experiences with us. This is not the first show of the new year because there's been several that have aired since then, but this is technically the first show that we're recording in the new year.
Okay.
So there you go.
All right.
This airs around the 10th.
Okay.
It's already 10 days in.
Yeah, but that's
17.
Not that far.
The question is, who's going to be dead by the 10th? or will the trend of 2016 end?
I hope so.
It was getting to be a bit much.
Yeah.
So hopefully by the time you hear this, that doesn't sound like a horrible, horrible statement.
Betty White made it, at least I hope.
At least she has to the point of us recording this,
yeah.
Which is literally the second
of
2016. And hopefully 17 is a better year for all that. It was just crazy.
Yeah.
That was one of the most depressing things, watching CBS Sunday Morning the other day. And it's like, I normally like CBS Sunday Morning because it's kind of like it's an end of the week, start of the new week, kind of a little uplifter usually. And some interesting stories that don't necessarily pertain to a lot of sadness. It's kind of introspective.
Yeah.
And then the longest segment of the day was, "And here's who died." And they do it every year, I get it. But it was just so damn many.
The whole year recap, nobody had a single good thing to say about 2016 really? On any level.
I don't know why everyone, like, such a shitty year.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody out there didn't. But it just seemed like it was just a lot. So anyway, we're into 17. Lots of stuff going on. This year for us, a book that we're working on should be coming out. Actually, did a little bit of editing right before the show on a story that Green submitted to us a while ago.
Green Kingsley.
Yep.
Okay.
And I have a whole list of others that I need to get going through. So hopefully... That'll be exciting. That's more towards the October area when that'll be coming up. We'll give you the details as we actually know them. But that's in the works. Lots of exciting stuff coming up here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hopefully y'all had good holidays and are back and appreciate you listening. A lot of people did listen over the holidays.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of binging going on of our show. So I don't blame you. That's fun. Let's get right back into it with some callers at 855-853-4802. Hi. I got to press this button over here. We have a new mixing board, by the way. So I'm like, it's another learning curve here.
Yeah.
Of tweaking 500 things as we go along. So here we go. Hi.
From Louisiana. Thank you so much for playing my audio file on a recent podcast and for also reading my story on a recent EPP episode. And I am so excited to be part of this EPP family. And thanks again for offering this forum for us. So I'd like to tell a little paranormal Christmas story. And it takes place when I was about 6 years old. And my younger brother was about 5. My older brother was about almost 10, 9 years old, almost 10. And it was 2 years after my mom had passed. So my younger brother and I lived with my grandma and grandpa, my dad. My older brother spent a lot of time with an aunt and cousins. So it's Christmas time, and we had this really creepy foot-tall Santa Claus doll, complete with that really weird, like, 70s crushed red velvet suit and white fur and plastic boots and that really weird hard plastic face and the eyes that just seemed to follow you wherever you went. Gray, scraggly beard and hair. It's like, I remember it so clearly. It's burned in my memory forever about the Santa Claus doll because my brothers used to torture me with it. They would chase me around the house. Or if I was somewhere quiet, they would sneak up and pull the string. It was one of those pull string dolls that when you pulled it, it went, ho, 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 Merry Christmas. And it would do that over and over again till the string was done. So they loved torturing me with that, and I hated that doll. And we would set it upon this little table at the bottom of the stairs to the upstairs. And on this table on Christmas Eve, this one particular day, my brothers, my older brother and younger brother and I all set out the doll, cookies for Santa, milk, and a carrot stick for Rudolph. My older brother went to spend the night at my aunt's, and my younger brother and I went to bed. So being a six-year-old child who still kind of believes in Santa-ish and is really not ready to give that up but wants to believe, I awoke to the sound of that Santa Claus doll. Ho, 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 Merry Christmas. And my first thought was, Santa's here. Santa. And I thought, well, wait a minute. So I woke my younger brother up. I'm like, I think Santa's here. As we kept hearing this pull string, this doll go, ho, 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 Merry Christmas. So just to be sure, I didn't want to interrupt Santa. I was nervous. I was scared to go down and face Santa if he was there and ruin everything. So I crept over to listen at my grandma and grandpa's door, and they're both, I could hear them snoring. And I went and I peeked into my dad's room, and he was in bed. And knowing that my older brother was at my aunt's, it had to be Santa. So I tell my younger brother, I'm like, Santa's downstairs. And we decided to just stay in our room, not to disturb Santa, let him do his job, let him do what he needs to do. And we kept hearing the sound, ho, 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 Merry Christmas, just going over and over and over again. And then it finally stopped. And somehow I went back to sleep, being excited about Christmas, being a six-year-old child, to awake in the morning to Christmas Day, Christmas morning. So I wake my younger brother up. We go downstairs. My grandma, grandpa, and dad all come down as well. And I said, Santa was here. I know that. Santa was here. Of course, you know, there's presents and toys and gifts on the tree. And they're like, yeah, Santa was here, Santa. And the cookie was gone and the milk was half drunk and the carrot stick for Rudolph was gone with a note that said, thank you, Santa. And I said, no, I know he was here. I know he was here. I heard him. And they're like, well, what did you hear? My grandma, I remember her asking me, like, what did you hear? I said, well, I heard Santa play with his doll. And she's, what do you mean? I said, his doll. He played with his doll because I heard his doll do the ho, 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 Merry Christmas. And I'll never forget the look on her face, but she looked at me, she's like, your older brother broke that string of that doll yesterday morning. There's no way you could have heard that. So that is my creepy Santa doll Christmas story. And I wish everyone a Merry Christmas out there. And I can't wait to hear what other listeners have to say or write in about with their holiday experiences. So thanks again for all that you do, and take care.
There you go.
So do you think, like, electrical interference could have made that dog go off? I mean, I don't know. Is that something that affects more, like, newer toys, or is that something that affected older things, too?
It all really depends on the age of that doll. If that doll is of, like, our generation, mm-hmm. Something like out of the 80s or something of that nature, very likely not electrical interference. If it was one more so of today, mm-hmm. Depending on how old it was, or really anything, I'd say, you know, post 98, 99 for the most part, electrical interference, sure. Because what you did was you went from having on those toys essentially what were little records, mm-hmm. literally just little record discs that were played back. And that's why with the old ones, you could kind of screw with them. But depending on how, if you like, let when the string was pulling back in, if you kind of held tension on it, mm-hmm. and let it pull back in slowly, it would be like, I'm Pee Wee Herman, or whatever the doll is going to say.
Yeah.
I go to that one because it's the creepiest. But on today's, it's a microchip, and it's just digital, and it plays. There's no manipulating the audio.
And she said it had a pull string.
Yeah, and even what they've done with some of the newer ones I've seen, they have the pull string more so for nostalgia, mm-hmm. and that just more so activates the chip. It doesn't run on the record, mm-hmm. that's in there. So it really does depend on what type of thing it was running on.
That's still so creepy, knowing that it was broken and knowing that, you know.
Sure.
She couldn't even write it off as, oh, I heard the real Santa. No, she knew it was that doll.
Yeah, I mean, it depends what it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very unexplained if there's no string to work on, because it's essentially like a pulley lever system. If the string's not there, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Or there's no way it should be working without someone in there manually turning the thing, which no one could do. Mm-hmm. If it's a chip and it's a battery thing, that could be triggered without the string.
Yeah.
So that's the question of what was it? So let us know.
I had a creepy toy experience earlier.
Yeah?
Yeah. And of
today?
Course, yeah, today. Okay. And I mean, I was already not in the best mood. I was on my hands and knees grouting our mm-hmm. new floor. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I start hearing this Thomas the Train piece of shit toy in the other room. And it's like
such aggression towards Thomas.
It is. It's like going off, telling me the alphabet, and Harper's nowhere near it. So I go over and I'm like, okay, this thing better be marked on, because if it's off and it's going off, I'm going to flip out.
Uh-huh.
No, it was switched to on, so I switched it to off and didn't hear it anymore. But I was like, if I go over there and it's switched to off and something's just screwing with me because they know I'm mm-hmm. already having the highlight of my day,
mm-hmm.
I'm just going to trash it.
So it has not been trashed.
It has not been trashed, and it is switched to off. But I don't know why. I mean, she was downstairs for like a good 20 minutes, and that thing just all of a sudden. And I didn't turn on any lights or anything because I had grout all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
No. So who knows?
Interesting.
Yeah.
I was playing with a Ouija board that somebody sent us for Christmas earlier today down here in the office.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that was...
That could be it.
Something to do with it. I don't know.
I don't know.
Could be. I really wasn't.
I know you weren't.
Just everyone knows. If we have new listeners wondering, oh my God, really? No.
No.
I say these things to try and...
We don't even own one, so no.
We don't!
Don't send us one. We don't want one.
Even like the little mint tin that
no.
comes with like the Ouija...
No.
Like the mint, the peppermint planchettes.
Somebody sent me a link to these like platform heels that are like Ouija.
Ouija heels?
Yeah. I don't even remember the exact design.
You could add
design,
that, add that to your platform shoe collection.
Yeah, because I have that.
You're always wearing those when you're working on grouting stuff.
Right.
Yes. 855-853-4802. Is our phone over here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to Shannon, Missouri. Hi.
Hey, Brewskis. This is Shannon from Missouri again. I saw that you, well, actually, I heard that you recently played my theater, the Haunted Theater call that I put in, and I actually saw those, our friends, recently, and they reminded me of a few other things. So this is kind of like a part two to that whole theater story. So anybody that didn't hear it the first time, I won't go into all of it, but our friends had, when they were kind of first married and starting out, they had purchased a theater and lived above the theater. And they decided, this was an old movie theater, I have no idea, like maybe in the 50s or the 60s it showed movies, but by the time they had purchased it, like in the mid to late 90s, they were using it to feature up-and-coming rock bands that would come through the area or would travel, you know, in and around the Midwest. And the first thing my friend said she did definitely notice was, like, they were trying to make repairs, and obviously they were doing all kinds of, like, fix-it-up things because it was a really old theater, and the seats would be down. And she would always notice the same seats that would be down, so she would assume they were, you know, needed to be repaired, and they would go to repair them, and they didn't need to be repaired. So she thought that was weird. She didn't think much of it. But then they started, different people started hearing the voices, like I mentioned, those around the stage, and she said what was weird is you could never understand what they said, but you knew there were different ones, there was more than one, and they had different personalities, really distinct personalities. Like I said, one had, they nicknamed them, and one was like the angry one was the crier, one was the joker. It was just really, really strange, and the bands would even hear about it, and they would always laugh, and then some would ask if they could, like, sleep over in the theater area and see, like, just if anything would happen, and they said no one made it. No one would stay the night. They would leave in the middle of the night because it freaked them out so bad, and they said, like, if you put your ear to the stage, the voices would get louder and louder. Well, my friends lived above the theater, and her father-in-law and, like, some of, like, they couldn't afford really to have employees. They were just starting out. So their family members and friends would help them. And I guess one time, I did not say this in my first part, her father-in-law was doing some helping out in the theater area, and he felt, like, he said it was like a cold, somebody blew cold air on the back of his neck. And he said it was as if it was like a freezer door opening, except you're in the middle of the old theater aisle. He told them, he goes, I would love to help you, but I'm never going back in that theater again. He was terrified. And he literally said it was as if a large freezer door with force had come across the back of his neck. He just said it was something like you knew something was not right. Another time, one of their friends was kind of helping move some stuff in some boxes that was, like, up and down the stairs, and he got pushed. Now, he luckily did not go flying down the stairs with these boxes, but something pushed him from behind, and there was no one behind him because our friends were in front of him, and he was following behind them with the boxes, and there was no one that was in the place that could have done it, and no one that was there that was human or alive. So he was like, he felt the hands on the back, on his back, and he was like, that really freaked him out, and he just said to them, like, I just got pushed. And, you know, they knew that there was stuff going on, obviously. And then she was also telling me that they were, you know, doing some repairs up in where they lived, because they lived above the theater in, like, these apartment areas, like, it's kind of like a larger apartment, and I think they took up two apartments, because it was, again, it was like an old building, and they were painting the hallways and stuff, and she said, like, they were actually, I think it was like they were white walls, but they were painting it a color, and I don't remember what color she said it was. I don't want to, you know, say the wrong thing, but I knew they were painting it with a color. She said words would appear on the wall, like, she said, nothing, again, was malevolent or anything. It was just, like, it was almost like it was, like, attention-grabbing. Like, it would say something like, hi, or, you know, it would just be strange. And I think she said she thought her husband did it, like maybe because, you know, I know when I've painted before, like, helped a friend, and you're painting a white wall and you're using a color, you kind of, like, jokingly, like, make funny, like, things before you paint over it just to be funny. And she thought that's what her husband had done. And then I think she didn't even ask him about it at first because she was kind of in charge of doing the painting in the hallway. And then I think she mentioned it to him, and she said, why do you keep painting these? And then I think sometimes it was symbols, like it would be a smiley face or something like that. And she asked him, and he goes, what are you talking about? And she goes, come on. And he goes, she said there's stuff that, and he thought she was, when she said it to him, he's like, what are you, that sounds crazy. And she's like, well, I just don't understand why these things keep popping up. And I paint over, you know, like she it took her a while. It was like a long hallway. Cause I said, well, would you paint over it? And then it would like go down in the next area. And she goes, yeah, because I wasn't finishing. It was taking me a while. She was doing it in phases. So it's not like she painted the hallways in one day. It was like she kind of began a project and she did part of it because they had a lot of work to do. And she just said as like she would paint over whatever, you know, appeared. And then as like, you know, the wall went down, it would paint, it would just be, you know, more symbols or words. But it didn't, it never wrote it like anything long out. It just, it was just these little things. It's just like I said, like kind of attention grabbing, like to tell you, to make you think or something. I have no idea what it was doing. But it just got to the point where they just, and then one night her husband said that he was sleeping and it felt like somebody took a hand, went over his face kind of and pushed on it. That really freaked him out. Like it didn't hurt him, but it was like somebody was pushing. And again, I would call that, I mean, I know a lot of people talk about like sleep paralysis. I really, that is something I don't know much about. I only know what I've heard on your show and sometimes on just through what other people have said about it, and I know nothing about it. I've never experienced it, so I don't even want to comment on it because I feel like that's not, that wouldn't be right of me to even speculate. But he just said that it was like somebody's hand was pushing on his forehead, and it woke him up, obviously, because he, you know, some, you feel like there's pressure on your forehead, you're going to be like, what the hell? And it scared, it really scared him. And they, again, they really couldn't get out of it. I said to her, I don't know how in the hell you stayed in that place. You know, I would have been scared to be there alone. And she said that, you know, they did get used to it. I know that sounds crazy. How do you get used to that? But she said it's not like it happened every second of every day. When I tell the story, it sounds like the stuff's going on like crazy, like the Poltergeist movie. But it wasn't. It was kind of like very spread out. But it did freak out a lot of different people. The bands, it wasn't just those two that lived there experiencing it. The bands that were there experienced it. Their in-laws experienced it. You know, their families experienced it. Friends experienced it. So there was definitely like major activity. I think old theaters probably have it. I've seen those on like, you know, the, you know, biography channels or the history channels where they have featured old, you know, theaters that have, you know, are allegedly haunted. And I could see why. There's a lot of people that perform there and pass through there and work there. And that makes sense to me that you have a lot of different people that go into a theater. And I agree with Jenny when she commented on my story about, you know, the first time, my part one of the theater, that it was very creepy. And I absolutely agree with you. It is extremely creepy, and I would not be comfortable living there. I think they were kind of tied up financially with it for a while because when you buy something like that, it's not easy to sell it. But they did eventually sell it. And I, when I just spoke to them recently at this party, she told me how the front of it, where all the old charm of that old theater had actually just crumbled and fallen apart because they had driven by it, I guess. And she was telling me about that, that that actually broke her heart because they were into the old look of the theater. That's what part of why they wanted to feature the rock bands there, because they thought that was so cool that there's this old theater and they could, you know, maybe hopefully keep the beauty of that old building. But unfortunately, whoever bought it from them just did not keep it up, and it had to be the front of, like, it had to be torn down. And she said that was really sad to see. But again, she doesn't know if that owner experiences any paranormal activity, and she certainly, like, her and her husband haven't since. But this was kind of the part two, because I had forgotten to tell you guys about that other stuff, and I didn't remember it, to be honest with you. I was like, I really remembered the bathroom story more than anything, where she went in there and then, you know, had the feeling get out, and then her husband tried to push that door open, and then they left, and then the door was wide open with the door stopper. That was the part that I remembered more than anything. But that whole theater had stuff going on in it. But I do know that her father-in-law, you know, her husband's father, like, absolutely dead set refused to step foot back into that theater area. I think he would go up to their apartment, but after something blew like that, he said like that freezer feeling, like it felt like a freezer blew on the back of his like neck and back area when he was in there. He was like, I am never going back into that place again. And that was it for him. He had felt enough. He had experienced enough. And I think the bands that left in the middle of the night were, you know, freaked out too. They said, I don't know how in the world you managed to live above this place, but this place is really creepy. But like she said, she got freaked out in the shower when that hand slapped the glass. She felt like it sounded like a hand, but that freaked her out. But she said that for the most part, the other stuff became very, it just started to become normal. I know, and that sounds like to me, I'm like, normal, but I think when you live there for a few years and it doesn't happen every day, I've heard other people on the show say the same thing, like, you know, like ghost cats and things like that, that I've heard, like, people just, it's like, well, yeah, that's been going on here for a while. I'm used to it. And that's kind of how they were. But I do know that when her husband had that hand pressed on his forehead, that was a little bit much. I mean, that's like, that'll freak you out. And they were ready to go. I don't think they left because they were scared, but I think they left because it was very, very expensive to maintain a large theater like that and to rely on bands and stuff. But it's still there. The front of it had to be pulled down, and now it's been kind of redone because it fell apart. But it is still there, and I did talk to them, so they confirmed all the other stuff. I even double checked because I wanted to make sure that I was accurate, and they confirmed that I was accurate. So this was kind of my part two, when I felt like I had to tell the rest of it. But I'm sure it's still the same. I'm sure that stuff is still going on there. So yes, a very haunted theater indeed. But anyway, I hope you guys are having a great start to the holiday season. I can't believe Christmas is around the corner. And join the show. I love hearing everybody else's stories on here too. It's definitely become a daily ritual. So anyway, have a great week. Thanks. Bye.
I too can't believe that Christmas is around the corner. 340 some days to go.
Yeah.
Or is it 50 some? Probably 50 some.
50 some.
All right. There we go. Just around, obviously, that was sent in right before.
Right.
The holidays.
Right. No, I couldn't imagine living in an old theater like that. I mean,
no.
They have this vibe, whether or not you even have an experience, that I just would never be able to be comfortable. But that's just me, or maybe sensitive people. I don't know.
I wouldn't be comfortable, but I would be perpetually curious. You know, I'd be like always looking into the place, and you know, but that's not comfortable. That's like a place you just visit.
Yeah.
Not live in. But good story. Thank you for the update on that. In just a little bit, we're going to play back a little conversation I had with my mother, who listens to the show on a regular basis and is also, you know, obviously very much into creepy stuff. Probably most of the reason I am. On their journey down here, they stayed at a hotel, and I won't reveal where it was because I don't know how much they're into promoting their ghosts, other than their bartender, I guess, talks quite a bit about it. But it's a big, big old limestone building that was like a limestone shed, but not a shed, barn, if you will. And yeah. Then this hotel is built around it with like a dome and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And very interesting history with it. And we'll hear the story from her about the place here in just a little bit. On Real Ghost Stories Online. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at the show. Obviously, if you like this show, if you just started listening to it in the new year, I know a lot of folks, obviously at the beginning of the year, people discover podcasts. And you know the reason for that?
Exercise.
Yes.
Yeah, something to do while they're on the treadmill.
Where's my damn bell? I can ding, ding, ding that. It's over here. Got a knock on the door. There's a little one coming in. But so lots of people discovering the show. If you like the show, help keep us on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. Get all the bonus episodes of our show, and you'll hear more about that. But check it out at ghostpodcast.com to do just that. It's only $5 a month. Let's go to the caller. Hi.
Hi, Brewskies. It's Cynthia Klepping calling from Whidbey Island in the Puget Sound again. Due to some kind of crisscrossing, I accidentally sent in a couple of stories twice. And on the second one that I sent, there were a couple of extra stories. So I'm just going to redo this with just those two stories. Now, my family was a military family, so I have lived everywhere and I have been all kinds of places, and I'm actually married to someone from Scotland. So he's got ghost stories of his own, but today I'm going to tell you a couple of stories about when I was a small child and we lived in Okinawa. Now, the first that I remember of Okinawa was moving into our house, which was an older house that was not on the military base, and it was in front of an old turtleback tomb. Now, turtleback tombs are called that because the tops of them are round, and the island of Okinawa is populated with hundreds, if not thousands, of these tombs. And being the age of 3 and 4, I would not have known to not go near the tomb or to be disrespectful to it, or I didn't really know what disrespectful was at the time, so I was always playing on the tomb, around the tomb, at the altar of the tomb, and I remember coming home to the front of the house from playing at the tomb, and my fingers would be all blackened and smell beautiful from the incense offerings that were left at the tomb. And I don't know if the tomb had anything to do with a couple of the ghost stories that I have for you, but when we lived there, both of my parents worked, and so we had a babysitter who was just really kind of a rotten person, and she was so mean to me, and she would shut me in the closet yelling boogeyman and then hold me in there, and then she would turn her eyelids inside out and chase me around the house, which scared me because it didn't look right. And she was just not a good person, and of course being 3 you don't know to tell your parents. But I remember once I was 3 and I was just kind of fed up, and I thought the whole thing stank. And as I was outside the back door, which was near the kitchen, and it was a screen door, so the door itself was closed or open, and the screen door was closed. And there was an older Okinawan man who didn't seem very big to me, but I was 3. I would say he was probably normal, but maybe not so big as someone like, say, my dad, who is a big man. And he was an older Okinawan man, and he told me, I was upset with this babysitter, and he told me to open the screen door and shout to her that she's baka. And in Japanese, baka means stupid. And I thought, well, that's a good idea. So I opened the screen door to the babysitter, and I yelled, "You're baka!" And I slammed the screen door and I turned, and this man had just vanished, disappeared. So I go running around the house, the outside of the house and down the street, and I don't know where I thought I was going to go or how I was going to get away from my babysitter, but my babysitter came running after me, and of course she caught me and beat my butt right into next week. So I do think that that was the spirit of some Okinawan man who was kind of fed up with how maybe the babysitter was treating me. And the other story about when we lived in that house was that the day that we moved into the house, my mother felt like someone was pulling her middle toe on one of her feet. I don't remember if it was her right or her left foot. Doesn't matter. But the toe actually stuck out. And it felt that way constantly and stuck out that way constantly. There was no rest from it at all until the day we moved out of the house onto the base. And then her toe didn't feel it anymore and it didn't stick out anymore. And so we always kind of had the joke in our family about the Okinawan ghost that was pulling my mom's toe, which, you know, seems kind of silly, but we always kind of wondered what that meant. And so ghost story, yes, no, you be the judge. But I think it, for some reason, it sounds to me kind of like an Okinawan thing, like maybe they were pulling a little joke on her. I don't know. Anyway, those are my 2 stories from Okinawa, and I've got more. I've got stories from Gettysburg, and I'm sure my husband has a few ghost stories from Scotland. And I've got a lot more, but I'll save them for another time. Anyway, I love your show. You people out there, if you haven't committed to being EPPs yet, you should do it. It's totally worth it. It's not very much, and you get so many great extra stories, and you guys just keep me a lot of company through my day and through some of my nights, too. So I really appreciate your good work, and you have a great week. You take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for sharing those stories with us.
I love it when spirits step in to kind of help little defenseless children that are in some way or another not being treated the right way.
Sure.
And I kind of feel like maybe that was having to do with the, you know, the turtleback tomb that she was playing around.
Like maybe that's like what triggered it.
Yeah.
And then it realized and saw what was going on and like, okay.
Yeah.
Time to step in.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I think there is a reason that it was stepping in as a parental type figure. Do you ever have a horrible babysitter?
No.
Ever have a babysitter?
Very, very, very rarely.
Yeah.
I think I can count less than 5 times.
Yeah. I didn't have them very often. The only one I had that I guess, and it wasn't horrible for me because it was, I thought what we were doing was fun and lovely.
Mm-hmm.
But when I told my parents about what we were doing, they're like, oh my God. And it was playing in the road.
Oh yeah.
Literally.
That's a good idea.
Playing in the road at night. We put piles of, because it was leafy and fall and there was leaves everywhere on the ground. And she thought it'd be a great idea to take the 6-year-old or 7-year-old, whatever I was, out to where the road was and then put piles of leaves, because it wasn't a super busy road, but you'd have a car maybe every 5 minutes. You know, there'd be one that would drive by. And then we'd go out there and put piles of leaves in the roads. And then when the car drove by, it blew through the leaves and leaves blew everywhere. To a 6 or 5-year-old, this is exciting stuff.
Yeah.
But to a parent, when you have the teenager watching the kid and this is what they're doing, not a good idea.
No, not a good idea
But
at all.
That was, I guess that would be my babysitter horror experience. just looking back on it. But it was fun at the time. Not advisable by any stretch of the imagination, but there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Speaking of the person who was freaked out by that, and rightfully so. My mother, she joined me in the studio earlier in the week when they were here for a visit to talk about this hotel that she had the privilege, I guess, of staying at. Totally random. She did not plan to stay at this hotel.
Yeah.
Either. This is just what happened.
Well, we didn't plan it that way. It was very random. We just decided to pick a spot to pull in for the night, and it just happened to have a history.
Now before we say the name of the place, I have to ask you, do they publicly talk about this place being haunted? Is this like something that's on their sign or anything, or where did you get this information and don't say the name of the place?
I did not see anything on the sign.
Okay.
What
Okay, then we won't say the name of the place.
We won't say the name of the place.
So anyway, this hotel that you're staying at, it's what's the history on this? Because this from the outside appears to be just kind of your kind of older domed hotel with a pool and looks, you know, kind of, you know, normal, right?
Well,
without knowing much about it,
right? It was built on a hill and it just had really cool stone structure to it in parts. And we walked inside, and the lobby was just 3 stories high, built out of limestone.
That's neat.
It is. And then they had, they probably repurposed, like, stairways and mirrors and banisters.
It's always great to repurpose mirrors.
Oh, there were at least 5 or 6 huge mirrors around the lobby that were, you could tell, they must have come out of some beautiful mansion.
What could possibly go wrong?
Or a museum or something. But yeah, very cool. And just kind of walked in and I looked at the structure and asked the desk clerk if they had ghosts.
That's not like you're smoking or none, or you know, where's the hotel bar? Do you have ghosts here? And how did that go?
Well, actually I said, this is such a cool place, and you don't normally walk into this type of hotel and see 3 stories of limestone with all of these cool, like, structures in them. And I just said to her, what was this? And she handed me the history of the place. And I said, oh, do you have ghosts? And she said, well, and I knew there was a story.
Yeah.
And she said, well, I've only been working here for a week, but.
Because we can't keep staff.
Yeah. Well, that was outside on the sign. Yeah, yeah. No hiring.
Yeah.
But anyhow, she said, yes, there's some rumors that people have seen ghosts here.
Okay.
So I just kind of let it be. We checked in and we decided we were going to go down for a beverage in the bar in the pool area.
Mm-hmm.
And the bartender there was very open to talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, she's had several experiences with this little ghost named Aggie.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently this Aggie was a little girl and she had fallen out of one of these windows when it was at the outside of the building. When we sat in the bar area or mm-hmm. at the pool area, we could look at the window she fell out of.
That's nice. Happy hour.
Which it, in that time it was, the history on this was it was built as a stagecoach stop.
Mm-hmm.
And three stories. The bottom floor, of course, was for the horses, carriages. And then the upper stories, the two other stories, were for the travelers. Quite a history with other things other than that. After it was a stagecoach stop, it was actually a poorhouse. Or poor, what did they used to call them? Poor farms.
Poor farms.
The poor farm.
Okay.
Yes. And of course, people down and out on their luck would go and they'd have a room.
This is like in the 1800s?
Yeah, I would think it would be.
Okay.
Yes. And there was also history of it being, before it was even built, that local Native Americans in the area had dug the wells
mm-hmm.
for this place and an amusement park that was near it.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was history there. There was also history of Confederate soldiers
mm-hmm.
and having a battle there.
There's a lot that went on
the time. Yes, lots of history. It's all limestone.
And this limestone structure is still the original structure that's seen yes. all of these things.
Yes.
And now it's a fun hotel.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. However, the bartender told us a few stories about this little girl, and she has had instances where she'll be doing a banquet or setting up for a banquet, and she hears her name called,
mm-hmm.
and it's a little girl's voice, and she looks around and she can't see anybody. She's had it where it was her and two other fellow workers were standing there having a conversation, and a little voice comes from behind them and says, "Excuse me," mm-hmm. which was funny, and nobody was there. The sous chef had two different things where at one point he left, turned off all the burners, was locking up, turned around, all the burners were on the stoves. And another time he came in and all the dishes were all over the floor. So she's supposed to be pretty mischievous.
Mm-hmm.
And people see her peeking around corners, and she has shown up in mirrors when people are taking a picture
mm-hmm.
of themselves in the mirror. I do have that one picture I shared with you.
Now, that was a picture of a picture? Is that what you...
It was okay. A picture of a picture, yes.
Okay.
It was a family that had stayed there, I think, in November. And they took a picture of themselves in this huge mirror
mm-hmm.
that's in the lobby. And behind them, you can see the reflection, and there's a little girl standing on the stairway, which is opposite the mm-hmm. mirror. And then, it showed up in the picture. They didn't notice it at the time. And then they sent the picture to the bartender because mm-hmm. they had been discussing this
sure.
person also. Another picture was up above the entrance. And again, in one of the mirrors, you can see the little girl standing there
mm-hmm.
and like pointing.
You have your phone on you right now?
I do.
Let me see him. You had sent him to me via text, and when you send it, the quality kind of goes down a bit.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
I wanted to see the ones that you took right on your phone so I can see it. And we'll probably put these up in the next episode of Seeing Ghosts that'll be coming out here shortly so you can see them if you're an EPP. Of course, you sign up to get all those episodes of Seeing Ghosts at ghostpodcast.com. Okay.
Okay, so you see the couple in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And now look at the stairway.
Where's the stairway?
You mean way
in the back?
In relation to them? It's way behind them.
Okay. I wish I could... This was a clearer picture. You can tell there's something back there, but it's difficult to make out.
Oh, you can see it's a girl.
It's very hard to see. Is it off to the right?
It's on the left.
On the left?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to see in this picture, but I can tell there's something. there. This looks like just your picture here of the nutcrackers.
Well, I took a few pictures.
Okay.
I was trying to see if anything showed up for me. I wasn't sure. I kind of had orb-like things mm-hmm. in a couple, but it was hard to tell.
Oh, I see it. I'm looking at the complete wrong area. I didn't realize that there was a stairway right there. I see it now.
Okay.
Yep. I was looking way behind them down that hall. It's like almost right next to them.
It's right next
okay.
to them.
Okay.
And it's like a reflection in
yeah.
of the stairway.
Yep. I didn't realize that was a stairway right. Yep. That is very creepy. That's,
you can see her
that's
very
right
clearly.
There.
Yes.
I almost see a second face up here, too. Almost up in the upper area here.
Oh, I didn't even look up there. I was focusing on the girl.
But yeah, it looks like there's the little girl there, but it almost like I see something else there. We'll use that in a future episode of Seeing Ghosts. I'm going to just email that to myself right now on your phone.
Okay.
Dun, 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 dun.
And I went around the lobby the next day, and I was taking pictures into the mirrors and everywhere and down the hallways. And
how many people do that there?
I'm sure there's a lot because they were just kind of like looking at me. But anyhow, you never know what's going to show up. And maybe on my phone, it's hard to tell. But I thought I had a couple orbs in one of them, but it could have been like all the reflections because it's Christmas, time, and the Christmas lights were kind of all over the place. But
it's very easy to get an orb if you want to get an orb. That's why I'm not super impressed by a lot of orb pictures. I get some interest in some of the orb videos that we get mm-hmm. because there you can kind of see the direction they're going in and if it like stops and suddenly changes. That's where you can tell a lot more about an orb if it's a true orb as in a video. The photo ones, it's difficult unless there's sometimes the colors and all that can be a little odd.
Okay, the second picture, look in the left mirror.
Yeah,
do you see the girl standing sideways with her arm extended?
I see something. It's hard to kind of make out exactly what it is there.
She has bangs and short hair.
Yeah, I'm not seeing that, but I'm not good at picking these things out. It's like I said, it's like the old the dot pictures that you stare at the mall in 1994.
Oh, see, and I could pick this one out right away.
That one's more difficult.
You don't
for
see
me.
Her at all?
I see something, but I don't see that level of detail.
I can even see like her dress has like a waist band or a, like you can tell it's gathered before the skirt.
We'll use that one in Seeing Ghosts too, because a lot of times I'm the one who's like, huh? And then everybody's like, no, it's right there.
Yeah, I can see her.
Oh, they're creepy.
Yeah.
And we'll put that in that next episode so everybody can take a look at that. We'll probably have that up by the end of January if anyone wants to see those at ghostpodcast.com. So
okay,
there you go. Did you have any activity in your room?
No, we didn't have any activity, but I was glad of that. The bartender said that at her house she has a ghost that goes between her house and the neighbor's house five doors down, and it's the same person.
If you had activity, would Dad believe in ghosts then? Because he still doesn't believe in ghosts.
No, he would say it was something else.
He'd be like, "Nah,
yeah,
that's just the
yeah.
There's bats or something that's that are hovering in our room that are flying. It's just a bat. Bats happen."
Well, the funny part is
there's some sort of logical answer to it.
You know, here we are in a strange town, and first mm-hmm. thing comes out of my mouth is, oh, are there ghosts? Is it haunted? Yeah. And he's like standing behind me. And so later I said, well, did I really embarrass you
uh-huh.
by asking about ghosts? And he's like, oh, no, 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 that's fine. But he was really interested in the story,
too. Oh, it's interesting, yeah.
Oh, I got one more thing about the property.
Yeah.
In back, there's this freestanding fireplace made out of limestone with mm-hmm. a chimney. Great big structure. And what they wanted to do is tear it down sometime back. Well, it didn't work out because every time to do it, the workers got hurt, the equipment malfunctioned,
mm-hmm.
and finally they just left it because it wasn't going to happen, and they thought, why even try it? So I have a picture of that too.
So it's where the ghosts have some control over their property.
So they plopped a picnic table in front of it, and now people just go and sit and look at the empty fireplace.
Why would you want to knock that down to begin with?
That's what I thought. It's part of the structure.
Although I wonder if it's like a giant liability, like people are out there and then like rocks falling on them.
Well, I don't know. It's pretty well put together, but then they said some visitors come and they're like grabbing wood to go and, you know, make and a campfire.
Sure.
And, yeah.
I can see that.
I think that's probably why they wanted it down.
Oh, good luck with that. Looks like somebody doesn't want that being torn down. I remember an old episode of Unsolved Mysteries back in the day where it was a school that they were trying to tear down. And on the episode of Unsolved Mysteries, they made it like the bricks exploded out on the people. I don't know if that's really what happened. But it was a creepy episode.
Yeah.
Remember that one at all?
I do. Yeah. I do. I remember that one.
Which that show, by the way, is going to be on demand on some platform here in the coming weeks, I believe.
Unsolved Mysteries?
Yeah, the old ones. All of them.
But you can watch it on a cable channel every day.
But that's not how the rest of us use television anymore. We need it on our terms. We need to press the button and then it can play. Just like this show. This is why this exists. You press the button, you can listen to it whenever you want. So,
okay. Well, in my world, it runs from 8 to 9 on a cable channel.
Yeah. The old ones? The old Robert Stack ones?
Yes, the old Robert Stack ones.
Well, now you can watch it on demand.
Because I keep saying, gee, I wonder if they found that guy. Or,
And now an update.
Yeah.
The latest from our Unsolved Mysteries, Update Center. And it's like an update from 1989.
And they have the big glasses and the puffy sleeves and the shoulder pads. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And their updates are coming in on like green screen computers.
Yes.
You can play Oregon Trail on them. Or you can get the latest update from Unsolved Mysteries.
There you go.
One of the two.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for that story, Mom. Did you plan on staying at this hotel before on your way down? Or are you just like, here's where we're going to stay tonight?
No, it was random. Like we said, we were trying to make time and we thought, let's get through St. Louis before, nighttime and after rush hour. So, it was just kind of a random thing.
Interesting. It's like the ghosts wanted you to come there so they could have their story told.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
On our show.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it made it interesting.
Taking it one step further.
Yeah, it was a nice stop.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you for sharing.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
All right. Enjoy listening to this while you're walking through the cemetery.
Oh, no problem.
So there you go. That's what can happen when you build a hotel around an old limestone barn with a heck of a lot of history attached to it.
Yeah.
Good times for all. So interesting stuff. Thank her for sharing that story with us. All right, that wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Hope you all enjoyed it. Of course, if you like the show, become an EPP. Extra podcast person, sign up at ghostpodcast.com. Get all 120-some of our bonus episodes up there. I think we're right by the time this thing airs, around 125-ish, right around there.
I think so.
We're like a quarter of the way to 200.
Huh?
We're a quarter of the way to 200, between 100 and 200.
Okay, yes, between 100 and 200, yes.
Mm-hmm. We're more than a quarter of a way, if you're considering all of it, all of this.
Don't do math on the show.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're getting closer.
Uh-huh.
We're inching ever so closer. So anyway, check it out, ghostpodcast.com. And become an EPP, get all those bonus materials, and enjoy. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.